The Quackcast Revenant Edition. This is number 239 and is called Licking. There is this myth that a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth. I don't think so. Yeah, an animal that neither brushes nor flosses and, depending on the breed, can lick its ass has a cleaner mouth than a human. Right. That seems believable only if the comparator human has meth mouth. But otherwise, not so much. I suspect, and this is just an edumacated guess, that it is due to circumstances surrounding the bites that has led to this myth. A dog's bite is often a ripping and tearing injury, and those with the bite go to the emergency room as soon as possible for care. Human bites are often one drunk male hitting another drunk male in the mouth, or getting bit, and due to inebriation there is delay in seeking care, so the infection has the opportunity to fester. Cat bites tend to be injection injuries, the thin, sharp teeth pushing bacteria deep into tissues, and there's minimal tissue damage to see or to incise and drain. As one of my many asides, although I watched The Addams Family as a youth, it wasn't until I was in late middle age that I realized the meaning of the name Uncle Fester. The Fester part, not Uncle. Around the same time, I realized why the rocks next to Haystack Rocks were called the Needles. Nothing is as invisible as the glaringly obvious. Like homeopathy is only water, or Soylent Green is people. Not that human mouths are all that clean. The mouth and the teeth have a rich microbiome of streptococci, anaerobes, depending on the dentition, non-syphilitic, one hopes spirochetes, and a lot of other species. Quote, the oral cavity is one of the most well-studied microbiome to date, with a total of 239 taxa that have at least one reference genome, and total genomes across the oral cavity approaching 1,500. Approximately 700 species of prokaryotes have been identified in it. These species belong to 185 genera and 12 phyla, of which approximately 54% are officially named, 14% are unnamed but cultivated, they go to the opera, and 32% are known only as uncultured phylotypes. The 12 phyla are, to be mispronounced, Fumicutes, Fusobacterium, Proteobacteria, Actinobacteria, Bacteroidetes, Chlamydiae, Chloroflexi, Spirochetes, SR1, Synergistes, Sacrobacteria, and Gracilibacteria, I suppose. You know, I did this for a living and I never could pronounce the names of the damn bugs. You kiss your significant other with that mouth, though? You betcha. None of these organisms are particularly pathogenic, at least locally. Suck some spit into an airway during a drug-induced stupor, you might get a lung abscess. Get them in the blood, they may go to the heart valve for an infection. How do these bacteria get in the blood? Brushing, flossing, and picking. Those with oral streptococci as a cause of endocarditis were more likely, quote, to use toothpicks, dental water jet, interdental brush, and or dental floss, and to have had dental procedures during the prior 3 months, whereas they were less likely to brush their teeth between meals. And injection drug use. Many an injection drug user will lick their needles just prior to injecting. Some because the needle slides in easier, and some to taste the drug. Quote, 32.5% of 40 subjects reported licking their needles prior to injecting. Reasons including ritualistic practices, cleaning the needle, not my definition of cleaning, mind you, enjoying the taste of the drug, checking the quality of the drug, and checking that the needle was in usable condition. And with the drug, some streptococci go along for the ride and seed the heart valve. Although, as a variation on a theme, infectious diseases and Bach have a lot in common, I had one patient with Neisseria sica endocarditis, likely from licking the blood off the injection site. Now, don't go, ick, a show of hands. How many of you will stick a bleeding finger in your mouth? No one? I'm it? Okay, let's move on. Dogs do have an interesting oral microbiome with a few organisms that can occasionally become pathogenic. For example, Streptococcus canis, Staphylococcus pseudointermedius, Capnocytophaga canamorsis, and Pasteurella species. Cats are more likely associated with Pasteurella infections, but most mammals have their own Pasteurella, including humans. get bit by a bison, could get a Pasteurella infection. Infections from Pasteurella associated with cats were not uncommon. My most memorable? Well, there was the diabetic leg infection from walking around barefoot with a foot ulcer in a house with dozens of cats. There was the peritonitis in the peritoneal dialysis patient whose cat slept in their bag warmer, and the teenager with meningitis who liked to put tuna fish on her nose for the cat to lick off. The veins around the nose, by the way, drain straight back into the central nervous system, so every time you squoze a zit on your nose, you are flirting with death. It is called the triangle of death for a reason. But it is hard to get infected. Most organisms are not that pathogenic, and the few that can cause disease do so only rarely. Just enough, I suppose, to have given me a career. I did see the occasional infection from dogs' mouths that were not due to bites. The most curious was the child with Pasteurella meningitis, whose family dog liked to lick the head of the child. Kind of like trying to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop. And there was the occasional cellulitis of the leg from a dog-associated streptococcus due to the dog licking the feet of the patient. One patient with severe neuropathy had several episodes of cellulitis as he could not feel the dog licking his foot. And occasionally the dog will advance from licking to chewing, leading to the loss of a toe or two. Never let your dog acquire the taste for sweet, sweet human flesh. It has been noted that dogs will lick their wounds, occasionally past the point of benefit. Besides mechanically cleaning the wound, there are proteins in dog saliva with mild antibacterial effects, and perhaps aid in wound healing. Quote, canine saliva was tested for its bactericidal effects against pathogens relevant to the presumed hygienic functions of maternal grooming of the mammary and anogenital areas and licking of wounds. Both female and male saliva were bactericidal against E. coli and Streptococcus canis, but only slightly and non-significantly bactericidal against coagulase-positive Staphylococcus, a.k.a. Staph aureus, Pseudomonas aeruginosa. E. coli is the cause of a highly fatal coliform enteritis of neonatal animals, and E. coli and Strep canis are the main pathogens implicated in neonatal septicemia in dogs. The bactericidal effects of saliva would facilitate the hygienic function of maternal licking of the mammary and anogenital areas in protecting newborns from these diseases. Which is true, actually, of all bodily fluids, as without antibacterial effects, spit, tears, and other body fluids would be nothing more than bacterial and fungal growth media. Human mouths are the same, yet different. Quote, the oral proteomes of dogs and humans were appreciably different. Proteins related to apoptosis processes and biologic adhesion were predominated in dog saliva. Drug target network predictions show that dog salivary proteins were found to have potential effects in tumorigenesis, anti-inflammation, and antimicrobial processes. In addition, proteins related to regeneration and healing processes such as fibroblast growth factor and epidermal growth factor were also upregulated in dogs. Humans put a lot of interesting things in our mouths. I will not be one to judge. But what goes in the mouth can be chock-a-block full of bacteria that cause us no harm because of an extensive antibacterial systems. The immune system consumes 25 to 30% of body energy production, keeping the microbial world at bay. About the same as the brain or resting skeletal muscle. Like I said, it's hard to get infected by bacteria. But some, noting that dogs and other animals, like rats, lick their wounds, conclude not that animals should lick their wounds, but that their dog or cat should lick the human wounds. In my practice, this was most often a diabetic foot ulcer. Most sites suggest having a dog lick your wounds is a bad idea, but not all. Quote, if your cut is small, you may feel comfortable with your dog licking and attending to your wound. If that is the case, it is suggested that you allow your dog to lick your wound. It is important to make sure your dog has been fully dewormed and checked by the veterinarian. It can be helpful in trusting this process so no infection is created. If your dog is not willing to lick your wound, it is something you should not push at. Your wound may be something your dog does not desire to lick, and it may be something your dog feels sick over and does not like it. Therefore, if you feel safe and your dog desires to lick your wound, then it may be something to encourage and allow. It is important to do what is best for you, your health, and your dog. Like not have your dog lick your wound. Many of the websites are wishy-washy. Quote, letting your dog lick your wounds may not always be harmful, but it doesn't mean that you should encourage your dog to do it. The bacteria in the dog's mouth could give you an infection, and there have been some rare cases where the infection has been life-threatening. And of course, there is TikTok, the land of fools, where you will have people suggesting, let the dog lick your wound. Many of the websites mention the usual dog pathogens and rabies as a risk. There is almost no dog rabies in the United States, in most part due to the vaccine, and in small part due to Atticus. If your dog has rabies, well, you have more to worry about than it gently licking your BlackBerry scratches. By the way, I remain of the opinion that BlackBerries are sentient and attack like apple trees when you pick the fruit, and that BlackBerry thorns are more painful than equally sized sharp objects. I do not know if it is the shape or if the thorn has an irritant. The topic has never been scientifically investigated. And I guess from last week's Nature, they are actually prickles, not thorns. PubMed has 43 hits for dog lick infection, including the dread Capnocytophaga canamorsis in the asplenic, an organism that can go crazy and kill you very quickly from purpura fulminans. There's not so many cat references. As another aside, as a kid, I thought the Scott decision by the Supreme Court was considered so awful that it was called the Dred Scott decision, like the Dred Pirate Roberts. Only late in life did I discover his first name was Dred, D-R-E-D. But I still think I was correct in spirit, if not in fact. First, I know dogs will eat vomit and shit, but still, ick, for the dog. And as I mentioned, you really do not want human to be part of your dog's diet. And while there are human models to show benefit from licking wounds, there are zero clinical trials comparing animal wound licking to standard care. I would suggest that while you may get away with a dog licking your wound, the intervention is no better than soap and water, and certainly has the chance of starting an infection. But then, I was always a minimalist for wound care. As a medical student, a plastic surgeon attending opined that you should never put in a wound that you wouldn't put in your eye. I usually, but not always, followed that advice and treated most wounds with contact lenses. But animal spit? Bad idea. And also, while we often share bacteria, both non-pathogenic and pathogenic, with our pets, why would you want to go out of your way to give dogs our pathogens? My rule, a parallel to lips that touch wine shall never touch mine, is animals that can lick their butt shall never lick my wound or cut. But a dog licking your wound is likely better than one alternative. Quote, you should be aware of a case of an Oregon teacher who was reprimanded after licking the blood from wounds of a track team member's knee, a football player's arm, and a high school student's hand. I mentioned all this to my wife, and her response, what's wrong with people? I can't disagree, but it gives a reason for this podcast. And that ends the Quackcast, number 239. References are available at Science-Based Medicine, the essay entitled Licking, from August 20th, 2024. Otherwise, catch you next time. Bye.